Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone. So good to see you this morning. A couple announcements I want to share with you as we begin. If you have your bulletins, just open that up. You'll find this little insert on the front of that. Just a reminder that those community Lenten worship services are happening. Started last Sunday and will continue on and through those Sundays of Lent through April 2nd. We are having combined choir practice. If you would like to participate in that, you're still welcome to. Still plenty of time. Just be there at 5 o'clock at the Sangersville Church of the Brethren in the sanctuary is where they meet, and you can start to practice there with that group. Services kind of start there. The lunch starts at 6, or the dinner rather, soup and sandwich, and then of course at 7 they have the service. I think John Christoffel from Mount Olivet is sharing tonight. So I hope that you come and participate in that. Also, they're taking up an offering for Kingsway Ministries. So the prison ministries, I hope that you will come and be able to support that also. Also, maybe some of you already have taken your church pictures. The directory is being put together. Alan and Lee are working on that. There's a sign-up sheet there in the narthex there on the bulletin board. If you haven't got your picture taken yet, I hope that you'll sign up for next Sunday, either before services, kind of during the Sunday school hour, or even after. I think an hour after, Alan will be in there taking pictures. We really would like to get everyone. It's so nice when you can open that up and put faces and names together. Sometimes you know faces, you don't know names. So I hope that you'll take advantage of that. If not, Alan will try to probably hunt you down and see if he can't get you to be a part of the directory. Yes, Alan?
There are a few people in this morning. But I've only got like two families signed up at the church. So if anybody wants to have your picture, thank you for the booklet. Feel free to come on back to the kitchen area there. I'll be glad to take them.
Yep. Thank you, Alan. Really, I hope people will take advantage of that. Please. Yeah, it doesn't take just a couple minutes, and we're not going to advertise these photos anywhere. We're just using them for the picture directory. So I hope that you can take advantage of that and be a part of that directory. Thank you, Alan, for your work on that. Also, I was informed by the program and arrangements team that they're still needing people to sign up for soup. The church Moscow is serving the soup and sandwich meal for the Lenten service on March the 12th, and they're still needing maybe 4 or 5 people to sign up, but I think they're needing 4 or 5 gallons of soup yet. And so if you can help with that, please just sign up. The sign-up sheet's there on the kitchen door. If you can do more than 1 gallon, that's great. That will help out too. So if you have questions about that, just talk to, is Michelle here? I know Mary Lou is here, and she can help you with that. So just see Mary Lou. There she is in the back. And if you have any questions about that, just talk to her. But we're trying to get enough. Those that sign up will need to bring the soup next Sunday. If you just bring it to church on Sunday, you can put it in the fridge, and that way they'll have it for the meal later on that day. Okay, are there any other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? Kenny?
Sitting here April 1st is our Easter egg hunt.
Yes.
We're looking for donations of candy to come in so we can get the eggs packaged and ready to go.
Yep.
And we're going to put together an afternoon after church where we can get the kids just to chill out here for a little bit to stuff the eggs.
Yep. I think last year you guys did that. Worked real well. And so candy donations, you can just drop that off at my office and just put it right inside the door there, and that way they'll have it when they go to pack the eggs. Also, just a quick note there that the Covenant Brethren, they are offering a church camp this summer for those middle school and high, kind of the junior and senior high school kids. If you would like to participate in that, or your kids would like to participate in that, there's a flyer on the bulletin with more information about that, or you can see me. I have more information as well about the cost and information about that. Lee?
We started doing a calendar that's going to be put on the bulletin board of all of our events. In
Thank you, Lee. We'd kind of did that a while back. We'd gotten away from it, and it's just nice to have a central calendar that people can look at and see what's going on here at the church. So, Lee, thank you for your work on that. And Alan?
I keep the website updated. About every Friday, I put all the new activities on there.
Right.
So you can see on the front page of the website as well.
Yep. There's the website's also another place you can go to find information of what's going on here. So appreciate y'all's work on that. Anyone else? Caroline?
I have a praise.
Yes. So
for Literary Christian School, we have Pastor Appreciation Day, and Pastor Darren came to represent our church.
Caroline, it was a pleasure. It was a pleasure, Caroline. And what an amazing school you go to. So it is a blessing and a praise for that. Thank you, Caroline, for sharing that. Yep. Anyone else? Janet?
Yes, I would like to encourage everyone to take one of these devotionals.
Yes.
The daily bread, they're on the table in the narthex. So please, they're free, so they're a wonderful devotional. So please take one if you
need today. No cost, just pick that up and enjoy. So thank you, Janet, for sharing that. Well, we have a lot going on, don't we? Fred?
I want to thank you for the visits you made the last couple of weeks. I want to thank all of you for your prayers and for the cards that were sent. And I want to thank my nurse.
Thank you, Fred, for sharing that. Appreciate that. Anyone else? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious, most heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for this morning that we can gather here as your people. And Lord, we seek to glorify your Son, Jesus. We offer praise to him this morning, for he's the one that died on the cross for us. Even as we move through Lent and we look towards the cross and Easter, that resurrection Sunday, Lord, we are reminded that Father, we are saved because of the work, the willingness of your Son to die in our place. And so, Father, we just offer up our praise and our thanks here this morning for your Son. We praise the name of Jesus together. All that we do, all that we say, all that we share together in, Lord, is to glorify the one whom you've sent to us, whom died on a cross, and who rose again from the grave. Lord, we praise his name. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things together. Amen. Let us stand together for this morning's call to worship. Find this in the inside of your bulletin, taken from portions of our scripture really today, from Numbers chapter 23. It says, "Come," he said, "curse Jacob for me. Come denounce Israel. How can I curse those whom God has not cursed? How can I denounce those whom the Lord has not denounced? The Lord their God is with them. The shout of the king is among them. Then Balak said to Balaam, "What have you done to me? I brought you out to curse my enemies, but look, you have done nothing but bless them." Let's turn our hymnal page 201, Grace Greater Than Our Sins. Page 201. A beautiful anthem. Certainly rings true. Grace greater than all our sins. Okay, just a few prayer requests that I'd like to share with you. First of all, if you would continue to keep on your prayer list Sherry Woods. Sherry had surgery last week on her hip and had that hip replacement, so praise God that went well. She's home, she's resting, and she's healing. She's doing well. In fact, she was home several hours from that surgery, which I couldn't believe. Just amazing. She had surgery that morning, and by that afternoon or late evening, she was home. And so we praise God for that and for the healing that is happening there. I know she appreciates all your prayers as you pray for her healing there. Also, we want to continue to be in prayer for Billy Ware. He will be having surgery, pretty serious surgery on his back on April the 11th. So if you would, just lift Billy Ware up in prayer as he, that date's not too far off. So we want to just be in prayer for that surgery will go well. Anytime they're operating on the back, it can be a very serious thing. So we just pray that God's blessing will be upon Billy and just heal him of his chronic back pain. Also, if you would, put on your prayer list the name Jason Michael, if you would. Please be in prayer for him, Donald and Francis' son. Also, would you put on your prayer list Norma Pratt? Just be in prayer for her and for her back also and for her healing. So, also, would you put on your prayer list the name Danny Wilson? Danny, we've had him on our prayer list several times, but Danny is back in the hospital. He's having some issues with his heart. And if you would, just lift Danny Wilson up in your prayers. Also, the name Vicki Wetzel was shared with me by Pam this morning, and if you would, just lift Vicki Wetzel up in your prayers. Are there other prayer requests?
There.
Pam?
Pray for my sister. She's having a real bad call.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, of course, my dad too. Would you continue to pray for him? He's still not feeling well. In fact, last week he was in the hospital for a night, but he is still kind of recovering. His heart has given him some trouble too. So if you would just lift up my dad, Dana, in your prayers. Also, Penny's sister, continue to pray for her. Other prayer requests or praises, Lee?
I got an update on Savannah Miller from her grandmother. They're going to start radiation on her so they can kill all the red blood cells and so they can clinically do the transplant as of March 15th. And they told her that they've got the Ronald McDonald's house.
Oh. Okay.
It's
going to be a long process here for her. Certainly.
The next 2 weeks are very, very critical.
Okay. Continue to pray for her. Thank you, Lee, for that update.
Yeah, my dad, Larry Van Deven.
Yes.
His heart's bad. He's probably going to have to have an open heart to get him back on the seat.
Okay. If you would, put on your prayer list Larry Van Devener and be praying for his heart as well. Yep.
The family of Michael Cooks, we prayed for Michael a couple weeks ago. Michael's my first cousin.
Okay.
He was diagnosed and passed away from cancer within about 3 weeks.
Oh.
So it's been very sad. He's very young.
Yep. What's his last name?
Cook,
yeah. If you would, just lift up that Michael Cook family. We did share just a couple weeks ago. He had a serious diagnosis, cancer, and he's since passed away, but certainly we lift up his family now and just pray for healing and comfort there. Thank you for updating us on that, Susan.
Joined today is Mr. Corbin's birthday.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Corbin, there he is. Birthday today. How old did Corbin turn? How old, Corbin?
Nine.
Wow. Congratulations, buddy. Happy birthday to you, Corbin. Be his grandmother, great grandmother's got a birthday coming up too. Your mom.
Great
grandma. Yeah.
95.
And the 14th. You know, we should do a card shower for her, shouldn't we? Yeah, yeah. When would the cards have to leave to get there for the? Yeah, okay. Maybe Imogene Michael's having a birthday coming up. And if you would, maybe just send a card to her. Her address is listed in the directory. And wouldn't it be great to just send a lot of cards? It's also in the bulletin. Carol just reminded me of that. Right here, Imogene Michael. And maybe you don't know her. That's okay. But just put on there from Moscow Church. That's her church. She knows that, and she will appreciate that the church is thinking of her and sending her a card. So let's do that. We'll do that together, and we'll send her cards. Nancy says send it on the 12th, and that way it'll get there on time. So thank you for that. Shirley? Yes. Okay. Yes. If you would lift Carolyn Ware in your prayers, Shirley and John's daughter-in-law, she's getting treatment. They're not sure if it's working, but we just pray it does. So, Shirley, thanks for sharing that. Certainly lift up Carolyn. Anyone else? With that, I'm going to have our ushers come forward now and to collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together in prayer. Will you bow your heads with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we stand here before you this morning, Lord, we know in our hearts, we know in our minds that you have loved us greater than any love we have received. Father, you've forgiven our past sins. Lord, you no longer look upon our sin, but you look upon us through the lens of righteousness that we've come to find through our relationship through your Son, Christ Jesus. We thank you for that love that is poured out upon us because of him. We thank you for that relationship that we have with you because of him. We thank you for the peace that we have in our life because of him. Lord, all that we have received and all that we are and all that we will ever be, Lord, is because of Him. And Father, we just praise the name of Jesus here this morning. Lord, if that's all we do here this morning, and all that we accomplish is just praising Your Son, I know that in that You are well pleased. Father, we lift up Your Son among us. Lord, He is the one that heals. Lord, He is the one that brings hope. He is the one that saves. Lord, He's the one that our nation needs, that people are longing for, that hearts, Lord, are open for. Lord, we just pray that He is glorified in our nation. Lord, that revival that started in Asbury, Lord, we just pray that You continue it among our nation and our people and in our churches. Lord, we need revival. And revival starts with Your Son Jesus being glorified. And Lord, that's what we need. And we glorify His name here this morning. We praise Jesus. Lord, we lift up that prayer request list to You with hope, with anticipation that good things will happen because, Lord, we have Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for all those names listed and shared here this morning. Do we just pray Jesus would be in the midst of their troubles? We pray His hand would be at the center of their faith. And Lord, that He would help them through their moment of need, even as He has us. Lord, we pray for our offertory this morning. Lord, we give You praise and glory that You bless this church to do Your work. Lord, we pray Your continued blessing upon it. Lord, we pray a blessing upon those givers. And Lord, we pray too that You will continue to bless us as we seek to serve You each day of our life. Lord, we praise You now and we glorify Your Son Jesus. It's in His name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, our children's church can be dismissed. Our youth Sunday school can be dismissed. In your Bible, I want you to turn with me to chapter 22 of the book of Numbers, Old Testament. Old Testament. Book of Numbers. Leviticus, Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. We're in the book of Numbers. And I've not preached a lot of sermons out of this book, but there's an interesting story, maybe a very unusual story, possibly the most unusual story in the Bible, of Balaam and his talking donkey. Maybe you've heard this story before, you've read it before. Do you know there's more scripture dedicated to this guy Balaam than Mary, the mother of Jesus? There's more scripture dedicated to Balaam than many of the disciples. Think of that. This story Balaam finds, you know, in fact, this story Balaam finds itself shared in 8 different books of the Bible. That's pretty remarkable, isn't it? And it's a very unusual story. We're going to share this together. I want you to just kind of see it. There's some lessons, I think, that we can take away from this. I'll share that as we go through this story. I think some lessons that this story teaches us. But, you know, God has a purpose for this story. You know, I think, in all the Old Testament, if you look hard enough, you'll find Jesus. You will find Jesus on every page of Scripture. He's there. Someone explained it one time like there's just a red line that goes across each page, and that's the blood of Jesus. And everywhere you look, you will find the message of Christ, the message of redemption, the message of salvation, God's grace, as you sang about earlier, grace, grace, God's grace, you'll find this theme, this message of God, on every page of Scripture, even the Old Testament. You'll find these lessons being taught. And so I think that's why Balaam is shared in 8 different books. Now, every time Balaam is spoken of in the Scriptures, it's in a negative light. Balaam is not a very good prophet. He's a prophet, but he's a prophet for profit. That's a good way to remember. He's the prophet for profit. He's the guy that is out for money. And even though he's speaking for God at times, he's doing it in a way that he can reward himself financially. And so we'll see that here in this story of Balaam. We're kind of going to go through this. I'm going to do it a little differently. I'm not just going to read the Scripture. We're going to kind of read through this as we preach it. I want to bring you up to date of where we're at here as we come into chapter 22 of Numbers, because you kind of pick up out of context. And so the context here is that Israel has finished its wanderings in the desert. You know, it spent those 40 years wandering there in the desert. And now we're seeing that Israel's getting ready to come into the promised land. It's close to entering in, and they're kind of drawing close to that land there that God had told them, Exodus 23, that little by little they were going to drive out those people before them. He was going to give them an increase in possession of the land. And God told them in Exodus 23, I will set your border from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines, and from the wilderness of the Euphrates I will give the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. So this is the promise that God had given Israel as they are getting ready to enter the promised land. God told them, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to drive out the inhabitants before you, and you are going to inherit this land even as I say. Now, as they drew near here to the promised land, you can kind of find in Numbers chapter 21 that the first trouble that they meet on this road is called Athrium, and they're on this road and they're entering into this land that is held by the group of the Canaanites. And Israel, of course, is met by this group, the Canaanites, and they are there's resistance for allowing them to come into the land. And so Israel, it says, made a vow to the Lord. And they told God, if you will indeed deliver this people into my hand, then you find this in chapter 21. It says, if you will indeed deliver this people into my hand, I will utterly destroy their cities. And so it says, the Lord listened to their voice of Israel, and he delivered up the Canaanites. And they utterly destroyed them and their cities. Now see, they're not in the land of promise yet, but they're kind of moving towards that. And they're meeting this resistance, these Canaanites. And of course, God gives them victory over the Canaanites. And the Bible says from there, they journeyed to Mount Hor, or by the way of the Red Sea. And Israel sent messengers to Sihon, the king of the Amorites. This is the next group that they're meeting, their land that they're going to pass through. And they said to King Sihon, let us pass through your land. We will not turn aside into the field or the vineyards. We will not drink water from the wells. We will go by the king's highway until we have passed through your territory. But of course, King Sihon of the Amorites, he would not allow Israel to pass. And so the Bible says that Israel defeated him and his armies by the edge of the sword. And they defeated the Amorites. And they took all the possession of the cities there that they dwelt in. And Israel dwelt in those cities, the cities of the Amorites. And then from there, Israel turned to King Bashan. And God gave them victory over him and his sons and all his people until there was no survivors left of him. And so that's kind of bringing us up to Numbers 22. They've had all these victories. They've been victorious. And they've destroyed all their enemies. And chapter 22 here, and then it says here, then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab on the side of the Jordan across from Jericho. Now look, they're in, basically, they're able to see where they're going. The promised land is right across the Jordan River. They're there camped right beside Jericho. Remember, they're going to enter into Jericho and the walls will come down. But before that, here they're met with some resistance, these people of Moab, or the Moabites. In verse 2, notice here, now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. Now, these people of Moab, they seen what was going on. They had heard that Israel had defeated the Canaanites. They had now defeated the Amorites. And guess who was next on their list? The people of Moab. And God had given them victory. And they could see that God was with them. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done. Verse 3, and Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. So Moab said to the elders of the Midian, now this company will lick up everything around us as an ox licks up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. And so we see here that they were sore afraid that Israel was going to wipe them out. And they had good reason to as well, didn't they? God had promised them victory over the Moabites as they dwelt in the land of promise. And so, what were they to do? Well, he sent messengers to Balaam. This Balak sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river in the land, the sons of his people, to call him, saying, look, a people has come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth and are sitting next to me. Verse 6, therefore, please come at once. Curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you cursed is cursed. Now, the solution for Balak was to send for a guy named Balaam. And Balaam was somebody that would be considered a soothsayer. In that time, he was someone that you would call on to call down maybe blessings or curse upon others. He was someone that potentially might be able to see events into the future. Kind of a mix between a sorcerer and a prophet. But obviously God had used this guy in some way or another. He had a connection to God. And so Balak saw that, and he called for Balaam to come and to curse the enemies of God. And so the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the diviner's fee. Notice that he doesn't come freely, does he? He doesn't do this for free. But he's got a fee. And with the fee in hand, and they came to Balaam and spoke to him, the words of Balak. And he said to him, lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me. So the princes of Moab stayed there with Balaam. Verse 9, then God said to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? And Balaam said to God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent me to saying, look, a people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and to drive them out. And God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. And so Balaam rose in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you. And the prince of Moab rose, and he went to Balak and said to that Balaam refuses to come with us. Then Balak again sent princes more numerous and more honorable than they. So he's trying to win this guy over. He really needs him. I think he's coming back with more money And they came to Balaam and said to him, "Thus says Balak the son of Zippor, please let nothing hinder you from coming to me." Yeah, he's pulling out all the cards, isn't he? He's sending a more honorable group to go kind of persuade Balaam to come and do this thing that he's needing so badly, to curse this people. I will certainly honor you greatly, verse 17, and I will do whatever you say to me. Therefore, please come and curse this people for me. Verse 18, then Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, "Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God and do less or more. Now therefore, please, you also stay here tonight, and I may know what more the Lord will say to me." So he's going to seek the Lord another time here for this situation. Balaam really wants to make a profit here, doesn't he? He's willing to go back, question God again a second time. You know, God says something, he doesn't change his mind, does he? God had already told Balaam that I'm not allowing you to curse this people because I have blessed them. And yet Balaam, here he comes again, with money in mind, that he's willing to change the mind of God and allow him to curse this people. And so he goes back, he seeks the Lord one more time. And at verse 20 it says, "And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, 'If the men come to call you, rise and go with them. But only the word which I speak to you that you shall do.'" And notice what it says there. So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Now notice there's a problem there, isn't it? What was God's demand? What was God's decree to Balaam? That if the guys in the morning come to you and tell them to go, that you are to go with them. But you can only speak the word which I give you, Balaam. And what does Balaam do? He gets up in the morning. They didn't come. He just saddles his donkey and he's ready to go, isn't he? It's kind of like give an inch, take a mile. God gave a decree, and Balaam, of course, he didn't follow it. He heard go, and he went. Again, he's after this money. He's ready to go. He's ready. Oh, I guess observation one out of this first part here is that really no one can curse for bad that which God has blessed for good. I got to thinking about Jesus as he goes to the cross. And how many people really wanted to curse Christ for bad at that moment? They cursed him, didn't they? They cursed at him. The idea was to destroy Christ. The idea was to curse the thing that God was doing. But this rule applies. No one can curse for bad that which God has blessed for good. And God worked a miracle through Christ, didn't he? Although they cursed God, although they slandered him, they beat him with reeds, they put thorn crown upon his head, they crucified him. God wouldn't allow them to curse him for bad. He worked a miracle of good, didn't he? And he saved everyone through his sacrifice. I think we see that same anger today, don't we? They continue to want to curse not only Christ, but the church, his church. Have so many people today slander the church. The problem with the world today is the church. The divisions in the world are the religion, and the church is the problem, they'll say. They continue to curse. They curse you. Problem, I can't live a carefree life with no conscience of the things I do is because you people keep bringing it up. You have opposition. You're a conscience, and you point out that my lifestyle is wrong. They want to curse us, don't they? They want to continue to curse us. But no one can curse for bad that which God has blessed for good. Now, the second observation that I see here, and we're going to see this, is that God will not allow us to suffer judgment without first applying some form of grace. And I want us to read on here because we're going to see grace, but grace is, it's presented in the form of a donkey. That's the grace that is applied here. Look, verse 22, then it says, God's anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now, he's on the way here traveling, and God has, his judgment is against Balaam, and he's going to strike him down. Now, the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, which with his drawn sword in hand, and the donkey turned aside. And out of the way he went into the field. And Balaam, he got angry. He struck the donkey to turn her back unto the road. And then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on each side and a wall on the other side. And with a and when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he struck the donkey again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in the narrow place where there was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw that the angel of the Lord, when she saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. And so Balaam's anger was aroused that he struck the donkey with his staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. And she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, because you have abused me, I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you. You know, the amazing thing about this is not only that there's a donkey that's talking, but also that Balaam responds to this donkey as if they're having a conversation. Isn't that kind of crazy? You think if you were in that situation, wouldn't you say, what are you doing talking? But that's not what Balaam does. He just kind of responds right back that this donkey has caused him heartache. Verse 30, so the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to you to do this? And he said, no. And then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is pervious before me, or perverse. And the donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would also have killed you by now and let her live. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back. Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, you shall speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Now when Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to meet him at the city of Moab, which is at the border of Arnon and the border of the boundary of the territory. And Balak said to Balaam, did I not earnestly send you calling for you? Why did you not come to me? Am I not able to honor you? And Balaam said to Balak, look, I have come to you. Now have I any power at all to say anything? The word that God puts in my mouth, I must speak. And so Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Karjath Hazoth. Then Balak offered oxen and sheep, and he sent some to Balaam and to the princes who were there with him. Observation 2, God will not allow us to suffer destruction or judgment without applying some form of grace. Form of grace in this story is the donkey, isn't it? This donkey was able to see. That's all orchestrated by God, right? This just doesn't happen. Again, this story is very unusual. These things just don't happen. Donkeys don't just talk, do they? How many of you talk to your animals, though? We talk to our animals all the time, but we don't expect the animals to talk back, do we? This story, the animal talks back. God has put within this donkey the ability, the grace that Balaam needed, didn't he? That he wouldn't be just completely destroyed by this angel of the Lord. How many times has that grace been applied to us? Probably not in the form of a donkey who was beaten, but in a Savior who was crucified. See that? Donkey was beaten. Jesus was beaten. Isn't he that form of grace that's been applied to you? Didn't I tell you the whole Bible is about Jesus? You can see it clearly, can't you? Jesus was striped for us. He bore our stripes, is what the Bible says. He bore our punishment, our sins. He was beaten for us so that we might not be killed, judged, destroyed by the judgment of God. God passed over. He saved Balaam from this judgment because of the grace of this little donkey. Last observation is God blesses those whom He calls, and He calls those whom He intends to bless, and that's you. In the Old Testament, it was Israel, wasn't it? He called Israel. He blessed Israel. He was faithful to His promise to uphold His blessings to Israel, wasn't He? And Israel, at this moment, I encourage you to read back and look at how much they had fallen, how much sin they had entered into at this point. They really had. And they would continue. Here in just a few chapters over, you'd see that they start intermingling with these other tribes and having relationships with them and worshiping their gods. Big no-no. And yet we still see a God that is faithful to love them, to carry out His promises and fulfill those promises and bless them even as He intends to bless them. Isn't it the same with us? Friends, we mess up a lot of times, don't we? Maybe we could look back at this last week and think, oh man, boy, did I make some bad mistakes. Maybe I said some things I wasn't supposed to. Maybe I did some things I shouldn't have done. Maybe I thought some thoughts or looked at things I wasn't supposed to look at. But praise God, He intends to be faithful to us. When He says, I've saved you through the blood of Christ, that doesn't change. When He says, I'll love you until the end of the earth, that doesn't change. God is faithful to you. All He asks is that we be faithful to Him, right? That we be faithful to Him. You can read on here, but out of this, Balaam doesn't curse the children of Israel, but all he does is bless them. If you read back to your call to worship, you'll see where it says that every time that Balak asked Balaam to curse, he ended up sending out a blessing. Four blessings. The blessing of abundance, that they would be numerous people, is what the first blessing was. The second blessing is the blessing of victory. They would be a victorious people. That they rise like a lioness is what he says. They lift itself up like a lion. It shall not lie down till it devours its prey and drinks its blood of the slain. This is a victory that Israel would experience. Third, the blessing of rulership. They would be a great kingdom. They would rule over the people. And fourth, you know, even Balaam, he calls forth the blessing that there would be a star or a redeemer that would come forth from the children of Israel. Out of Jacob, one shall have dominion, it says. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. Boy, not curse, but bless. Not curse, but blessed. Isn't that what God does for you? Does for us? He blesses us. He calls you. He blesses you. And we are thankful. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this unusual story that we see here in the Scripture. But Lord, in it, as much as we look, Lord, we see your grace. We see your love. We see your faithfulness. Lord, that which you, faithful pledge you gave to Israel, Lord, is the same pledge of faithfulness you give to us. Father, we thank you for that love that you extend to each one of us. Lord, you don't want to see us judged or destroyed for our wrongdoings or our sin. But Lord, you just want us to be obedient and following you. Lord, you've applied your grace, and we thank you for it. Bless us all, I pray, through this simple story. Might we see just how blessed we are because of your Son, Jesus. We praise his name. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things together. Amen. Okay, let's gather now in our closing hymn. Page 461, He Leadeth Me. Page 461. And let's stand together and sing. Page 461. Heads in prayer. Grace, Heavenly Father, as we go, Lord, we know that you go with us. You bless us and you continue to bless us. Lord, you just seek that we would be faithful to you. I pray that we do that this week. I pray we commit ourselves to fully seeking you, serving you, obeying you, seeking your word. Lord, trying to please your Son with all that we have. Lord, that's what you desire. That's what you want. And Lord, we thank you that we can serve a life that pleases you today. Father, bless us, I pray, as we go. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.